forgot your yarmulke. Hello, today we're going to talk about the Queen and video games.
I'm just flipping to Bill Cosby there.
And the General Pudding Pop. C-A-G-C-A-S-T, you're on the air with J-P-D. W-O-M-B-A-T-L, Wombat rocks with self-esteem. You'll never find a P-O-D-C-A-S-T that talks more about P-O-O-P-I-N-G. Wombat rocks from Tokyo to Massapequa, Hawaii to California. Cheap-ass deals for cheap-ass gamers. My PGs for all the lurkers. I played Gears and killed the Berserker. I ate turkey on Thanksgiving. Thought 99 problems, but video game deals they won. Let's go.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the CAGcast, episode number 156, and I am your internet space pimp, GBD, live and direct from Tokyo, Japan.
And I am Wombat, and I am neither on the internet or space or a pimp.
Right. You were very slow with that response, Wombat. I thought you passed out there for a second.
Well, I didn't know that you were going to just throw it to me so fast.
Right, I never just throw it to you.
A little off guard.
I never do that every show. It's only been 155 shows.
I know. I don't understand it. I'm so inconsistent.
It's all new to me.
I know. I don't get it. So this show we're doing, this is the all talking about games, no personal life stories episode, right?
No. In fact, there'll be one game. We're going to talk about one game this week, and it's a game that came out 2 years ago.
Awesome. I can't wait.
It's a game that I guarantee nobody cares about, except for me.
We're going to talk about Perfect Dark Zero for 2 hours.
Yes, yes. That's a groundbreaking game there.
It was.
Anyway, Wombat, so we didn't do a show last week. Why didn't we do a show last week? I forgot.
I was on vacation for half the week,
oh, right.
And then when I got back, my computer decided it didn't want to work anymore.
The MacBook that you got fixed broke again.
Yes, same problem.
And you took it back to the Apple store again, or you did?
No, I just did the same thing I did last time.
I see. So hopefully it holds together for at least another hour and a half or so.
Exactly. I stuck my finger in the dike for now.
Oh, yeah? Did she scream? Do you know how you make a hormone?
How do you make a hormone?
Kick her in the stomach. Or you can you can put sand in the Vaseline also. You like that one better.
That's gross.
Anyway, Wombat, I had some interesting developments going on in the wonderful world of GPD. Couple things. I had lunch last week with, it's not a CAGcast unless I mention Jon Snow within the first 5 minutes of the show.
You're supposed to say I had lunch with my friend John, and then I go, Jon Snow?
And then I say, I mentioned Danny Chu.
And you had lunch with both of them?
No. No Danny Chu. Okay. But I just wanted to get people fired up. But no, I also, along with John, I had lunch with some, I guess they're, see, I'm not sure. I guess they're all former 1UP guys. So it was Mark McDonald, John, last name starts with an R, but has a lot of letters that I don't remember. Richicello or something? Does that sound familiar?
Riccatello, I believe, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, look at you. Mm-hmm. And Crispin? Do you know
Boyer?
Who?
Crispin Boyer?
Yes,
is that his name or something?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Oh, like, I have to second guess myself because I'm like, well, if he doesn't know, maybe I'm wrong too.
Oh, it was John Ricciardi. I'm looking at Facebook right now. I'm looking at the name and I still can't say it.
Yeah, whatever. We know who you're talking about.
Okay, you know who I'm talking about. Anyway, so we had a great time. We talked about, we had lunch at the famous Pakuch Burger in Shibuya, giant hamburgers. You can even see the, maybe I'll post a picture of the Tower Burger again because it's awesome. Oh, and also their coworker Hiroko was there. Don't want to leave her out. Anyway, so I found out that they listen to the CAGcast, or at least some of them do. And we got to talking about it, and it turns out that they heard about the pizza guy story. You know, the naked pizza guy?
Yeah.
And John had met him. This is where it gets weird, and I was like, what the hell is going on here? They do like this Thursday night drinking meetup every week. It's called the Otaru something or other. And I guess some gaming guys had met Naked Pizza Guy at his pizza. Well, he wasn't, you know, at that point he was just Pizza Guy. And they met him at his pizza place, and they invited him to come to one of these meetups. And this is like over a year ago, well over a year ago. So they all met this guy, and then they found out later about, I guess, I don't know who heard the show and heard the story, but they found out about the nakedness factor, and it all got back to them. So they made me retell the whole pizza Naked Pizza Guy story during lunch, which is always fun. And then something weird happened, like right at the end of lunch. Like,
I just picture you commanding the restaurant while you regale them with your tale.
I was. Like, I mean, of course. You know, you got the
like
giant.
Like something out of a Rodgers and Hammerstein musical, just standing on top of
the
chair.
Very model of a modern major general. So, yeah, so I am. Yeah, of course, I'm telling the story probably, you know, I'm drinking a beer. I'm, you know, I'm telling the story probably at three times the volume that it needs to be told at. And everyone seems to be into the story. And now you interrupted me. Oh, and then, like, while I'm telling the story, while I'm wrapping up the story, and I don't know if this was somebody in our party or somebody next to us, but there was the most foulest fart that just, I could hardly even continue with the story. That's how nasty it was. And I, you know, it was one of those things where, like, you know everybody must smell it, but nobody's saying anything. Because, you know, I don't really know those guys too well. It wasn't me. I just, you know, you remember the GPD promise, right, Wombat?
I am very well aware. It's more of a guarantee.
Right. Well, what is it again? I forget. It's
if you fart, you'll let us know.
Right. Thank you, Wombat. So, anyway, so I managed to power through that nasty fart.
That's GPD's promise to you, the listener.
Yes, exactly. I put my reputation on it. So I managed to continue the story, despite that awful smell. And I go home, and I'm thinking about the pizza guy. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to email him one more time. I had emailed him, like, a ton of times before. I called him a zillion times. I said, you know what? I'm going to give it one more shot. So I email him. I'm like, hey, man, like, are you still alive? And he writes me back. Finally.
Bum, bum, bum.
And I think a lot of people are going to be disappointed because I didn't actually speak to him. The only thing I know is that he's back in Japan, okay, and that we will probably meet up this week.
Do we know if he's still married, or you don't even know that?
I don't know anything. The only thing I know is he went to Arizona, I guess, for vacation, or I don't know what, but he's back in Japan, and he's alive, and I guess he wasn't deported, because he's still here.
Excellent.
So I will, what I'm hoping to do, Wombat, is I'm hoping to meet up with him somewhere and bring my little recorder and do a little interview with him and find out the whole story. I'm assuming he would be cool with that because, you know, he's not the type of guy who seems very private or, you know, reserved, obviously. So that should be a treat, hopefully, for next week, Wombat.
Cool.
Also, going on in Japan, I just want to tell this really, really quick. It cracked me up. I was actually just laughing on the street. This is cherry blossom season in Japan. It's cherry blossom season and Korean missile alert. But people don't seem to care much about the missiles because people are too busy drinking heavily under the cherry blossoms. It's like
didn't they say you could get to the east coast of the U.S. in 35 minutes?
West coast, west coast, west coast.
Is it the west coast? Okay.
But it couldn't even make it. It couldn't even make it much past Japan. Landed in the ocean, like, not too far from here. But nobody cares, because everybody's sitting underneath cherry blossoms and drinking. That's the tradition here. And, of course, Japanese people, they if there's one thing that they're good at, it's drinking heavily and smoking cigarettes. So, we went through, we were going to have this whole, not a whole big thing, but we were going to invite a couple friends out and, you know, get a tarp and put it under the tree and all that shit. But Ty, of course, had a fever, and it sort of ruined the plans. But we had to take him to the doctor, and on the way to the doctor, we have to walk by this huge park with all these cherry blossoms, and it's a very popular meetup spot for Japanese people and drinking. So as we're walking through, you see a ton of people just, like, passed out from drinking, even though it's, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So one, as we're walking by, there's this one guy passed out with, of course, a bunch of people around him. His friend comes over to him while he's basically unconscious and puts him in a figure four leg lock. And the guy wakes up while he's administering the figure four leg lock. And he's like, ah, ah. It was so funny.
How do you know it was his friend?
I don't know who his friend. But I
you
was
don't
just,
know.
I was just standing there. It was, you got to just picture the visual. And, you know, the guys, and the, his friend is, or whoever the guy is, you know, I think it was Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Oh, is that who it was?
Yeah. He was really doing it, and he was so into it, and his friend is just like, no, no. But he was sort of, you know, half drunk, so he sort of like half didn't know what was going on and half in excruciating pain. So I thought that was pretty funny. And something that you'd be interested in, Wombat.
Cause I know I was waiting for there to be something I'd be interested in on
this
show. You
have to wait a long time.
So far, I've just been kind of sitting here waiting for you to wrap it up.
You're on cruise control, I know.
Yes.
I watched a movie this weekend that I've sort of been waiting to watch for a long time. As you know, I told you like a long time ago, my local video store finally got like a decent selection of Blu-rays. But I got to check out Superman 2, the Donner Cut.
Oh, I own that.
I know. Well, one of our listeners sent that to you, right?
Yes, yes. It was a very nice gift.
Now, if you I don't know if you ever remember, I mentioned this on the show a few times, but I remember seeing Superman 2 in the theater, and the reason why it's so memorable to me is because I remember crying when Superman gave up his powers to be with Lois Lane.
Wuss.
Well, you know, I was young.
Wuss.
So I was a wuss, and I was young. So I was very interested young in wuss. Watching the Donner Cut, and I was surprised to see there were a lot of changes.
Well, there's a ton of changes.
Including the...
And I'm mixed. I think there are certain things that Richard Lester, I don't think is a hack director, to be perfectly honest. And there are certain things that he did well, and there are certain things that obviously Richard Donner has made a lot of, you know, very entertaining films himself. He's also no slouch. So I think that there's a great movie in both of them, but I don't think necessarily that the Richard Donner cut is 100% better. I don't know if it's necessarily the better of the two.
I think they're both pretty bad. That's the conclusion I've come up with after
watching.
Yeah,
you've decided that you just don't like both of them?
I've decided, you know, I've seen the original version, I mean, I can't even count how many times. And I'm sure you probably seen it a million times too, right?
Yeah.
And so I was very familiar with it. And so when I saw the Donner cut, I knew every single thing that wasn't, you know, that was new. But I've decided that I don't like either of them. They're both incredibly silly because they both revolve around the premise that Superman would give up his powers to be with Margot Kidder.
For the bootay.
No, Margot Kidder. I can understand if it's like, you know, I don't know who was hot back then, Cindy Crawford. But
no, that's you're more like Christie Brinkley era.
Okay. It's just the whole thing is ridiculous, but it's so weird. Like some
Donna
of the things
Dixon.
They change. Like why did they change the booth that takes away his powers? It looks different, but it's only slightly different.
I can't describe
it's so
the
weird.
Director's choices.
But
yes.
It's filled with terrible dialogue. The story is terrible. There's no reason why they even needed that part of the story where he gives up his powers and gets them back. They could have taken that whole part out, and it still would have been good or better.
You know what? You could watch that movie with the sound off and standing on your head, and it's still better than Superman Returns.
I bet you want to play a game?
Sure, let's play a game.
I thought about this game while I was putting together this outline. I bet you we could go back and forth with lines from Superman 2. First person who can't come up with a line in 5 seconds loses. All right.
Oh, okay, I'll see if I can do this.
Do you want to start?
I don't think
it?
I'm going to do that well.
Oh, really?
Okay, I'll see how well I do, but I don't think I'm going to do that well.
Excuse me, sir. I believe you're sitting in my seat.
I've been lifting weights.
No, working out.
Working out. See, I already lost,
well,
and I was doing
close.
The motion, too.
That's close enough, though. You know something? You're a real pain in the neck. That doesn't count. You're already out.
I could do Neil before Zod.
Planet Houston, strange
yes,
surface.
I was gonna do Planet Houston.
That's it. That's all you got. You're done. Are you out? I could go forever.
I bet you could. There's some really good Gene Hackman lines in that movie, too.
But a lot of them are super silly.
Yeah, well, it's a silly movie. It's very comic booky.
Right.
But it's very, I mean, that's what Superman was like at that time.
Yeah, they don't take it. Well, Superman 1 took it more seriously, took the story
a little bit. Yeah, it definitely took it more seriously. But I, you know, as much as I love Gene Hackman as an actor, he's probably one of my favorites. Yeah. I never loved his Luther.
No, it's too, it's not, he's not that devious or something. I don't know.
It's too sticky, and I really don't like Miss Tessmacher.
Right, and Otis.
And Otis. I mean, really, he's supposed to be the greatest criminal mind of the 20th century, right, and he hangs out with Otis.
Luther, you poisonous snake! Yeah. All right, Wombat. That's all I got. That's all I got for now. Anything that going on with you?
Ask me how bad the economy is.
How bad is the economy?
So, yesterday I went to the GameStop sale.
Okay.
To pick up the Namco Arcade Legends collection thing.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I decided, because the Wendy's is on the way home, I figured I'd pick up lunch for me and the missus, because mm-hmm. she likes the Wendy's crispy chicken sandwich, and I thought I'd be a nice guy and get her one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm standing on the line, and there's a woman behind me on line, and she goes, "You know what's really good?" I'm like, "What?" She goes, "The fish sandwich here is the new fish sandwich. It's really good. Have you ever had it?" No, she's like, "You should try it. It's really good." I'd get one myself, but I can't afford one right now.
Oh,
but they're
no.
really good. And this is online in a suburban Wendy's. She goes, "Last time I was here, someone was nice enough to buy me one."
Is this an African American woman?
It was a nondescript race.
She was brown, is what you're saying.
She was darker than I am.
Well,
yes.
That anything is darker than you.
That is true.
A piece of white
sheets.
Paper is darker
I have white
than you.
Sheets that are darker than me.
So she was basically trying to get you to buy her a fish sandwich.
She was trying to get me to buy her a fish sandwich on the line in the suburban Wendy's.
Now, did you go for it?
No, I did not.
No.
I just walked up to the counter and ordered my food. I'm like, I don't know if that's really a good idea.
You should have pushed her to the floor on your way to the counter. Not only am I not going to buy you a fish sandwich, I'm going to throw you down.
It was very awkward. I'm like, I now feel uncomfortable in the Wendy's line, and I didn't want to feel uncomfortable in the Wendy's line.
Right. You should have pulled out a $100 bill and be like, "I'm sorry, you know, I can't.
This is all I got.
That's all I got."
That would have been rough.
Anything else?
And also, yes, I've been doing this thing on the Twitter, yeah. And you can post the link.
Okay.
Where I am trying to win a contest.
Sounds like a scam.
For no reason. There is absolutely no reason why I'm trying to do this. I should mention that.
Right.
Although maybe I'll give away some of the prizes on
the shitty
our show.
Prizes?
Yeah, I'll give away the crappy prizes on our show.
Right.
Unless there's one I want to keep. And basically, you need to go to a website that you'll post in the show notes and help make me the world's leading viral marketing scientist.
Right. This is the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
It is really
dumb.
It's
a scam.
Probably.
And you're losing, I'd see.
I am in second place, which is almost a little more... Right. Annoying.
But anybody who has like a significant number of Twitter followers could, and that decides that they want to win this could, you know.
Can easily swoop right in on the last day and probably destroy everyone there.
Exactly.
So, I don't know why I started doing it.
Me neither. Because you got nothing going on.
Yeah, someone recommended that I follow this guy and I started following him on Twitter.
Right.
And he posted this link and I said, "I can RT that. Let's see what happens." And then the next thing I know, I was winning. And it's hard to not want to win something that you're winning.
I guess this seems pretty exciting to you, considering the highlight of your weekend was a woman asking for a free fish sandwich at Wendy's.
Well, I mean, it was also Sabrina's stomach virus, but I don't think people really want to know all about that.
Was there a lot of loose stools?
You know how I would describe it?
Hell?
Picture getting a really big burrito from a Mexican place. And then you squeeze it in the middle, and how it would come out of the top and the bottom. That's what a baby with a stomach virus is like.
Oh, yeah. It comes out the top of the shirt. You mentioned that once before.
Well, here's what happened on Saturday morning. You know, it's Saturday morning, and I'm just wearing my robe and sitting on the couch, and Sabrina likes to lean against the ottoman that we have in the living room. It's made out of leather, and she just likes to smack it because it makes that funny noise.
Yeah.
And she's smacking on the ottoman. Next thing I know, she throws up everywhere.
Oh.
And my first reaction as a father is to pick her up
uh-huh.
and to pat her on the back and go, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And she looks at me and she smiles and she laughs and then vomits all over me.
Oh, it's gross.
And now, yeah, it was just that, and that's how I started my weekend.
Yeah. See, Ty hasn't really gotten, like, that sick like that. I mean, he gets this, he has, like, this ear infection that just won't go away. That's why he, it sounds like he's sick all the time, but it's really the same thing. But it's just like he gets a fever. He's not, like, throwing up or anything. He's like, you know, he's always in good spirits. Although now,
yeah, that's the other thing also. She's happy. She's
she doesn't care. She just, stomach. It's hard for her to keep shit down.
Exactly.
Ty now sleeps in a queen-size bed by himself, by the way.
Yes, I read your Twitter.
Yeah, he's pretty pimpin'.
Big pimpin' on his.
He's done with the crib at the age of 1 year and 5 months.
Here's some big news. Sabrina's spending her first night out of the house without her parents on Thursday night.
Oh, that's going to be fun for you. What are you doing?
My mother, who normally watches the baby on Thursdays, can't. So my wife has to take the day off on Thursday, and my mother's going to watch the baby on Friday. The reason why my mother can't watch the baby on Thursday is because it's Passover.
Oh, oi.
And she's cooking. So my wife is just going to go to the house with the baby, my mother's house, and after the Seder, the baby's just going to stay.
I see.
Yeah.
All right, Wombat, let's do... I didn't put together any show feedback from last week, from 2 weeks ago, because I looked through it, and it's more... people talking about the whole downloadable content stuff, and it'll probably come up again later in the show. But briefly, though, I know that we've beaten this horse to death.
We beat it to death. Let's move on.
CAG News-ish, did you enjoy my CAG April Fool's jokes, or were they as lame as I thought they were?
I was a little disappointed. This is what I was hoping you were going to do.
Yeah.
Was do the make a phony press release stating that CAG Productions LLC has officially purchased all the licensing rights to Joust.
You should have told me that. I would have.
Because that would have been funny as hell.
Yeah, I didn't. I needed some good suggestions, and I got.
And
some
that would have. That's totally would have been. Well, I was on vacation, so I.
Yeah.
You know,
I was looking for you too.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That would have been. That's. See, I know when you agree with me because that you sound disappointed.
I got good suggestions from people, but they were things I've done already, and I just like, you know, oh, CAG got sold to somebody. You're replacing Wombat with somebody. Like, I've done all these. And
yeah. No, it had to have been the Joust.
Joust would have been
and
great.
You could have had Whip Smart Venky make some mock-up.
Oh, it would have been great. Where were you, Wombat?
And it could have been like an official press release that you actually... I mean, I don't know if you could do that, but if you could have emailed it to all the CAG members, that would have been funny as hell.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, that would have been good. Did you see the one that I tried to play on my wife?
Yes, I watched the video.
It's on my YouTube.
And she fell for it about as quickly as anyone else would have.
Well, I thought it was pretty good. Like what I did is I found an eBay auction for a actual kit Knight Rider car, you know, an actual replica Trans Am.
Yes.
And I found an auction that had completed, and then I just downloaded the page to my computer and edited it to make it so that I won the auction. And then I, you know, told my wife that, you know, I have a confession to make. I bought a $30,000 kit replica.
Without discussing it with her first and without having a place to park it.
Well, I said, yeah, she didn't fall for it at all. She just knows me. Like, she knows that I wouldn't spend $30,000 without discussing it with her.
Who would? Really? I don't care how much money you think you have, but would you really spend $30,000 on a whim?
No, probably not. But I should have gone for like a $5,000 RoboCop statue or something.
That might have been more plausible. You know what? It couldn't be a statue. See, that's the other place where you fail. The size is still too big. It would need to be something smaller.
Actual armor like that I could wear.
Like the actual gun and helmet. Because that's something you could just put in your office.
Right. You're right. Anyway, we have a contest or something?
We do have a contest.
What is
courtesy
it?
Of CAG member Panther 1484, fellow Pitt graduate.
Wow, we're getting prizes from CAG members now. We're really scraping the bottom of the barrel here.
He PM'd me and asked if he could give it away, and it's for helps the children. It's, you know, it's the Children's Miracle Network bundle.
I don't think giving it away for free helps the children.
Well, he bought one.
Right. He probably got it for free somewhere.
Probably. And it contains Viva Pinata Party Animals, Sonic the Hedgehog, and Shrek the Third.
Right.
So, you know, you could win this the same way you win every other one. You just post in the CAG forum thread.
Okay.
You know what? The crap on a prize that someone wants
I'm sorry.
Away, you know?
I'm sorry. Thank you very much, Panther.
There you go. It's courtesy. It's respect. A little bit.
Respect. Respect. All right.
There you go.
Are we doing a CADcast game night? We haven't done one in a while.
We haven't done one in like 2 weeks.
Right.
Well, it's always up to you. You're always the one who can't do it.
No, I can do it if you don't do it at 8 o'clock in the morning.
9 o'clock is fine.
9:30, 10 o'clock is better.
10 o'clock, I'm asleep. You see, that's the problem.
No, 10 a.m. my time is 9 p.m. your time.
That's what I just said, 9 o'clock.
Okay, fine.
Who's on first?
All right. So we'll look in the CADcast forum for details.
Yes.
I don't know what we'll play.
We're going to play Resident Evil 5. So only two people can get in.
And you have to pay for the DLC. How funny would it be if that's what we did after all the shit that I talked about, the downloadable content?
Yeah. No, that's not going to be it.
Right. We'll think of something. Maybe we might have to go back to Killzone because I haven't played Killzone in a long time.
Me neither. And I think that game actually works the best for the show.
Yeah, because there's the most people.
It's the most people and it has that password room, so it's easier to get in,
yep.
I think.
Okay, Wombat, let's move on to new releases. We've got a lot of stuff going on this week. Of course, the DSi was launched. We'll talk about that a little later in the show when we get to our regular Nintendo section. Godfather 2 is out this week for pretty much everything.
I know it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart.
Yeah. The movie is great. And I'm
I love
looking
that
at
movie.
The
I just watched it like a week ago, 2 weeks ago. I watched The Godfather 2.
You watched it?
Yeah.
It's great.
I love that movie.
I have it on Blu-ray. I need to watch it.
I don't. I picked up 2 new Blu-rays, though, over the weekend.
What'd you get?
At the Target buy one, get one free sale, I picked up WALL-E because we really wanted that because that movie's just great. Did you ever finish watching it?
No.
Oh, I love that
I watched
that
Superman,
movie.
Superman 2 instead.
2 instead, yeah. And you're gonna be mad at me, but I got Transformers.
What are you, a jerk-off?
I am a jerk-off.
Why would you get that?
Because I wanted it on Blu-ray.
You're never going to watch it. I guarantee you never watch it.
It could happen.
You let me know when you watch it, okay? I'll be waiting.
I will do that. You will be the first person I call. Right. And I will call you, hopefully while you're asleep.
Right. I don't expect me to answer the phone when I see caller ID.
Yes, I heard that there's a part of the Godfather 2 game where all you do is there's the abortion simulator in the Godfather 2.
Yeah.
There's shooting your brother in the boat simulator in Godfather 2, game.
No.
Those are both in there, right?
It looks pretty cool, actually. And the reviews have been... I'm looking on Metacritic, and it seems like only like the European sites have reviewed it. So 3D Juegos gave it an 82, which is a muy bien, I think.
Yeah, 82.
82. No, 82.
82, yes.
I don't know. It seems cool. Si. I might check it out if I can find that cheap. I don't know. I never played the first one. I'd still like to play the first one. Now
the first one's
right.
I never played it either, and I mean, yes, we are both big fans of the films. So.
Yes. Also, this week is that Chronicles of Riddick: Dark Athena.
I had an abortion, Michael.
Right. That's right. Oh, I forgot about it. I was wondering who got the abortion. I forgot.
Kay.
Right. I know. Now I remembered.
And it was a boy.
Bum bum bum. And then what did she say?
Nothing. He slams the door in her face.
Right. It's tough.
I know.
Assault on Dark Athena, Chronicles of Riddick has gotten good reviews, too.
Yep.
I don't know. I didn't.
If you, it is what it is.
Well, IGN, here, let me read you this clip from IGN, who gave it a 7.4. The first half of the game, Escape from Butcher Bay. So the first half of the game is a remake. Is the original Xbox game, but I guess touched up a little bit.
Yeah, enhanced.
Okay. So the first half of the game, Escape from Butcher Bay, certainly shows its age, but it's still an innovative game. The sequel, however, comes off as a poor imitation. It's far more frustrating and seems more shooter than anything else. It's not a terrible game for a sequel, but it's inferior to Butcher Bay. After I read that, I just, and after playing the demo, I can see that I'm not interested. Also this week, you've got Rhythm Heaven for the DS. I know, a lot of CAGs bought that with a DSi through the...
I played it yesterday.
Oh, yeah? Really?
Yeah, at the Target when I went to get my DVDs, my Blu-rays, they had it. They had a kiosk.
I heard it's hard.
With a dude giving demos of the DSi.
Oh.
So I played a little bit of it on the DSi, and there you go.
What'd you think?
I don't need to buy that game.
Right.
Yeah. We've got, what do we got? We have good DLC stuff. Download games this week, too, don't we? We have that that Flock game.
Yeah, what's the story with that?
It's like a sheep herding game of some sort. It's also, I think, $15 or $20.
Yeah. I know Frisky Tanuki had a question about that in the gag bag, and I didn't actually put it in the gag bag. But he was basically saying, like, why are they being so aggressive on the, you know, just trying to get $15 out of people on this?
It's not. It's $20. It's no, wait, no, that
no, 15.
Flock is 1,200 points.
Yeah, that's 15.
Which is 15.
Frisky and Tanuki doesn't make mistakes, Mom. You should know that.
Puzzle Quest Galactrix is 16. That's what I was looking at.
1,600 points.
For Puzzle Quest 2.
So that's $20, right?
Yes.
So anyway, Frisky was saying, like, it's sort of weird that Capcom is trying to suck $15 out of people. This is like a, you know, it's a new intellectual property. You know, wouldn't they have done better, you know, making it cheaper? It's going to be hard enough to get people to buy into a new concept, especially a concept that revolves around sheep herding.
You know? Yeah, I don't get it myself. It
seems like a weird strategy, and I don't know. What Puzzle Quest is the other one this week. I don't know. I think I played the Puzzle Quest Galactrix like PC demo.
Isn't it supposed to be not that great?
I couldn't even figure it out. It was like too complicated.
Yeah, I know a lot of people that didn't really love it too much.
I would just go and get the original one. The original
Rubble.
I would get a Rubble.
Rubble.
Is there anything that we missed, Wombat, that we need to mention?
I believe Flock will also be on the PlayStation Network.
Isn't it only on the PlayStation Network or no?
No, it's on both.
Oh, okay.
Why would Major Nelson, and why would I say 1,400
Okay, douchebag of the year right here.
What is your problem?
I'm a douchebag.
You listen? What, I mean, really?
Ninja Blade is not supposed to be very
good.
Next
week I do the show by myself.
Ninja Blade is an Xbox exclusive.
Ninja Blade is what now?
Xbox 360 exclusive.
I don't even know what that is.
It's like Ninja Gaiden, but worse.
What's an Xbox?
All right, Wombat, I hate you. Should we get off the new releases? Are we done?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Let's get off of new releases because I just got off of yours.
Oh, that's great. Let's do some game shopping news very quickly. Yes. Amazon has been bringing it with the deals lately. They have a bunch of 360 deals. Both rare games, Banjo-Kazooie and Viva Pinata 2, they're both $20. So that's pretty cheap.
They're both really good. I mean, if you don't own Viva Pinata 1, then yeah, that's a great deal. If you are on the fence about Banjo, I say pick it up.
I mean, yeah, you can get both games for $40. That's pretty sweet. And a little sad, I guess. But no, it's an Amazon sale, whatever. Lips, they've got Lips for $40. And of course, that comes with both of the wireless microphones. I have fun with Lips, and you know those microphones. You're gonna be eventually. It says you're gonna be able to use those mics in Guitar Hero World Tour and Rock Band 2, and they're already compatible with Guitar Hero Metallica. So I don't know. I recommend it for $40 if you're interested in that type of game. For me, I find myself, you know, I just hook an iPod up to it, and then you can sing over your songs. It doesn't, you know, you just. Singing over the songs doesn't give you the lyrics or anything like that, but I know a lot of the lyrics
anyway.
Do you
do that? You sit at home and plug a microphone into your iPod and sing into it.
No.
Yourself.
I plug a microphone is in my Xbox.
Oh, I see.
I plug the iPod into the Xbox, and then you can import all the songs from your iPhone. I mean iPod. Doesn't work with iPhone actually. Or iPod Touch.
It sounds thrilling.
It's cool, and Ty likes it. Ty likes to watch me sing songs. That's the important point.
I was going to say, because, you know, I sing in the car.
Yeah. Well, this is more fun, and the wireless microphones are cool. And I give Ty a microphone. I have a microphone. We have a great time. Also, Seen It is on sale at Amazon. $30. The new one, Box Office Smash. The bundle is $30, and the game by itself is just $20. I like the game, and I think you really don't even need those big button controllers. The problem with those controllers is that they work off of infrared, not the same technology as the regular controllers. So they have to be line of sight. for, you know, for an order to your button presses to register. I find it's just easier to use the regular controllers. That's me. But I guess if you're going to be playing with people who aren't gamers, they may have an easier time with the big button.
Remember when we played that game against each other?
Did, yeah, you won, right?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
That's right.
They also, you missed it now, but they also had You're in the Movies. That's the...
$10?
It was $10, you know, and it came with the camera, but it sold out. I mean that didn't last very long. But that's, I mean, you know, I don't predict you're going to see a camera for $10.
They must have had a warehouse that had nothing in it.
Right. They must have been sitting on thrones of Movies.
Like Mark Bezos probably walked into a warehouse and said, "We got a lot of crap in here. How much stuff we got? We got this game with the camera."
Is that Jeff's brother?
Yes, that's Jeff's brother, Al Bezos.
No. His name, Jeff, is the guy that runs Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, his brother Al.
No, you said Mark, though.
Mark. Oh, yeah, Jeff. Whatever.
Dude, you've been smoking crack over there? I know his last name.
That's all I need. If I was on Jeopardy, I would have said, "Who is Bezos?"
who is Bezos?
Who is Bezos?
All right. So, also, this week is the GameStop Game Day sale. Not an incredible sale. There's some decent deals. You can get Guitar Hero Aerosmith for every platform for $10. And some of the stores, if you go in store, some of the stores will throw in a wired guitar with that for free. They also have Valkyria Chronicles. Is that how you say that, Wombat? I don't even know. For the PS3 for $30.
Yes, it's Valkyria. And I also picked up the... I think the Namco collection actually is pretty good.
Okay.
It was the one thing I wanted, and I got it.
All right. Oh, from the GameStop. How much
the
was
Namco
that?
The Namco Museum Virtual Arcade for $15.
What is that on? It's what system?
360.
Oh.
It's 30 arcade games, 30 classic Namco games for $15. So 50 cents a game as opposed to $5 to $10 a game. It has the Pac-Man Championship Edition. The new one is on there.
Are they all games that you can download on Xbox Live Arcade?
Are on there. They're it has all, Mr. Driller Online. It
but
has,
I'm saying, are there games on that disc that aren't available on Xbox Live Arcade?
Oh, yeah. There's most of them aren't.
Okay, that was my question. Yeah, yes, I guess if there's 30 of them.
It has like Pac-Man Arrangement and Dig Dug Arrangement.
I still play Pac-Man Championship Edition.
Me too. It's great. Pac-Man Championship Edition was the only game on the collection that I already had.
Oh, cool.
So I'm like, you know what? For 29 games for $15 and using store credit anyway,
right.
I decided to take that plunge, and I'm happy with that purchase.
Excellent.
So there. I like Dig Dug. I like me some Dig Dug.
Yeah, I would like that. Actually.
It's a really good collection, actually. I recommend it if you're interested in classic games and you don't have any other Namco collections and you don't have that much on your arcade. For 50 cents a game, you really can't go wrong.
Gotcha. Best of the Sunday ad deals. Oh, excuse me. Toys R Us has a buy one, get one 50% off on select games. And it's like they're platform exclusive. Like, so Prince of Persia for the PS3 is eligible, but not on the 360. But there's some good stuff here. You know, there are a lot of new releases, Resident Evil 5 for the 360, Godfather 2 for the 360. I mean, go to CAG and check it out or check the Sunday ad. I mean, there's some good stuff in there. You can make it a nice deal out of that. And the Xbox Live deal of the week, good until April 12th, is Penny Arcade Episode 1. It's half price, 800 Microsoft points. I definitely recommend that game. I played through it. I had a great time. I'm looking forward to playing the second one. It's just I don't have a lot of time to play it. Otherwise, I would have bought it. But you finished that too, right?
I did finish it. I don't know if I would necessarily recommend it. I think
you didn't like it really that much.
I liked it. I thought it was very good. I'm just saying I think there's better things you could get with your $10.
Okay, fair enough. Before we go into Microsoft, do I want to do this story here, Wombat? Did you read about this? Do you know anything about it?
I did, and I still didn't see what you thought was so interesting about it.
I thought it was stupid, frankly. We'll talk about it very quickly. This is left over from the Game Developers Conference. They have all these different panels. And one of the panels is like a rant panel or something. And this woman, Heather Chaplin, who's an author and you know, writes about the game industry, she basically was criticizing the video game developers saying that they all act as kids and that they're not advancing the medium because they're, here's the quote. She says, "You are a bunch of stunted adolescents. Games avoid any of the things that separate men from boys: responsibility, introspection, intimacy, and intellectual discovery. And when you're talking about culture makers, this is a problem." I mean, I don't know. Like, you play games to have fun, right? And they're supposed to be kind of, you know, they don't, I'm not really looking for a deep impact. If I'm looking to, like, take some limbs off, usually. Right? I mean, am I...
It's video games are interactive escapism.
Yeah, like, what does she expect? I mean, I'm not looking for, like, a family simulator here. I don't think many people are looking for that. I think people are looking for...
You know why
for...
she says that? Because that's what people with vaginas would say.
Right, she's just a girl. She's a chick. She's looking
a girl.
For
what
the,
does she know?
She's looking for the video game equivalent of a chick flick.
I mean, really, why wasn't she in the kitchen? Why was she allowed to even rant anyway? I don't understand this.
I don't know. I thought it was really silly. I mean, when I play a video game, I'm looking for usually over the top action with stuff that I would never be able to do or even really want to do in real life. Like, I'm not interested in shooting people in real life, but in a game, it's fun, and like you say, it's a form of it's an interactive escapism.
If I want to deal with personal growth, responsibility, and other adult issues, you know what I'll do? I'll turn my console off.
Right, right. You'll go have dinner with your family.
Yeah.
Wait, better get back in the living room. Turn that shit back on. Anyway, I just thought that was really silly, and maybe she's just saying that because, you know, I think the whole point of that panel is to come up with some sort of rant. And
yes, I think that was just her ranting.
Basically. Yeah. Total bullshit. Anyway, let's go into Microsoft.
But it was fun to rant on her ranting.
Right. Let's go into Microsoft, and I bought two games. I guess this was last weekend. 2 weekends ago, I bought two games used at my local game store. And these are multi-platform games, but I'm playing them on the Xbox 360 because they were cheap, frankly. And this game, the first game I'm going to talk about, is a game that is incredibly cheap. You can buy this game new for the Xbox 360 or the PS3, and it's $10 to $13. I think GameStop has it for $10. Newegg has it for $13. You can find it at several places, brand new for that price. And this game is called Dark Sector. Now, I remember you played through this game a long time ago, Wombat.
I did, and you could get it new for, it looks like it's $9 on Amazon, even.
Even Amazon.
Yeah.
Now, I gotta say, I am having a blast with this game. For those of you who aren't familiar with it, it's... I don't know, how would you describe it? It's a third-person action game. It reminds me of Resident Evil in a lot of ways.
It does have some similarities with Resident Evil. It has some similarities between, I don't know, any generic
Gears of
third-person
War
shooter.
Gears of War?
Huh?
Gears
of
War.
A little bit. I don't know of that much. But
cover
yeah,
system. It's got a cover system.
That's true.
Third-person action. What makes this game very interesting is that your character's main weapon is a glaive. And if you don't know what a glaive is, check out the movie Crawl. It's basically it's a frisbee, but it's got razor blades on it.
Hey, remember at the top of the show when we were joking and said we were going to talk about a game from 2 years ago for too long?
I wasn't joking. I was totally serious. I knew exactly what I was going to talk about. Anyway, I think this game is awesome. And, you got to admit, Wombat, there's no way that this would not be fun. You're throwing a glaive at people and cutting their limbs off.
Well, that's what makes that's the best part. It's not necessarily the throwing the glaive, which, you know, a lot of games can have similar techniques. You know, Marvel Ultimate Alliance has basically the same thing if you play as Captain America. But what this game does very well is when you hit the dude, things fall off.
Yeah.
And that's fun.
And, you know, as you play through the game, you gain additional powers. And one of the powers that you get pretty early in the game is the ability to use aftertouch on your glaive, which means after you throw it, you can switch to a camera angle that's right behind the glaive as it's flying through the air in slow motion, and you can steer it around. So, like, you can steer it through, like, a path of enemies and try to take all their heads off. It's a lot of fun. I think the graphics are great. The sound is great, although it has a problem with the X4s. It screws up the sound. You can't use it with the X4s, but on, you know, if you don't use the X4s, you're fine. I wholeheartedly recommend the game. I think I'm on the second to last level. I'm not quite done. Takes about, I think, 10 hours to get through the game, but I really, really recommend Dark Sector. I was really incredibly surprised. I mean, I just bought it because it was cheap, but I was surprised how much I liked it. There's even
It's as good as a crappy game gets.
It's not crappy.
It's kind of crappy.
It's not crappy. This is a quality game. I you know what, Wombat? I bet you that this game is more fun than Resident Evil 5.
I would disagree, having played both.
Right. I only played the demo of Resident Evil 5. But
I know. That's what I'm saying. I wholeheartedly disagree. Did you like Resident Evil 4?
I mean, I did.
Yeah. You need to pick up Resident Evil 5 and tell me if you... All right. You'll disagree. Once you get past the stage, like, you know, the demo, the first part of the demo?
Yes.
Yeah. That's basically the beginning of the game, and that's the worst part of the game.
Okay. Well, okay. I was a little hasty when I said that, because it's not fair. I haven't played through Resident Evil 5.
That's what I'm going to say. And it's really a disservice. Again, it's a, you know, when good games have bad demos. The Resident Evil 5 demo, I really don't... I mean, yes, it's kind of a throwback to the village scene from the first game.
Right.
From the first game. The last game from Resident Evil 4. But it doesn't really showcase the majority of the game, because very little of that game is you being stuck in a corner having to shoot for, you know, 10 minutes.
But you know what you can't do in Resident Evil 5?
Let me guess. Walk and shoot?
Well, that, which you can do in Dark Sector. I wasn't going to say that, Wombat, but thanks for bringing that up. You can take your glaive and you can throw it through fire, and then it catches on fire, and then you can light enemies on fire with your glaive.
You need to get the 50 Cent game.
Yeah, I heard that that's pretty good, too.
Yeah, I played that over the weekend.
But I bet you that's cool.
It is cool. I played a little bit with Shipwreck. I played a little bit alone. And if you kill enough guys, your bullets, depending upon the gun you have, there's two different pistols that I have so far. And one of them, if you kill enough guys with your pistol, you get fire bullets. And when you shoot someone, they instantly light on fire.
That sounds fun.
It's pretty crazy. And the other one are exploding bullets. So when you shoot the guy, the bullets stick in them, and they look down at it for a sec, and then they blow up. Like, what the hell is this?
Right. Well, anyway, okay, so I'm done talking about Dark Sector. That's my cheap-ass pick of the week. Definitely, if you're interested in just a 3D action game, straight-ahead action game, where you're going to kill lots of enemies and take their body parts off, and they even have zombies and regular people, so you can mix it up. You know, it gets a little repetitive, but highly recommend Dark Sector, especially for $10. You cannot go wrong. I guarantee
it. So let's go back. Let's go back to the $10 argument. So was your $10 is better spent on
Dark Sector
or Dark Penny Sector. Arcade?
Dark Sector.
There you go.
But, yeah, okay. Totally different games, though.
I think it's an argument that people just aren't having enough. It's not that the games are necessarily good or bad. It's where is your $10 better spent?
Well, and also, like, you know, when you're a slave to the release schedule, you're always paying a premium for the games. I mean, this game was Dark Sector was $60 when it came out. It's the same
not
game.
For very long.
It's the same game that it was when it came out, and now it's $10.
And it's better than probably 90% of the arcade games out there.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think it's a great. It actually got good reviews. I looked up the reviews. The reviews were
mixed. Yeah, they weren't terrible. And I played the game, and it's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. You're gonna have
fun. You know what I think it is? You know where I think the failure of the game is? Is I never at any point was interested in the story.
The story's
or my
terrible.
Character at all. Like, I could care less why my character's there, or the point of him being there, or why what's happening to him is happening to him.
But what about Resident Evil 5? What's the story in that? The story's so great.
It's not that the story's so great. I don't know what it is about Resident Evil 5, why I like it so much, but I don't know. I'm compelled to continue to play it, and there are very few games that, when I'm not playing it, I want to be playing.
But it's not because of the story, though.
It's not necessarily story. I think it's just the way the game plays. There's something about it. Although, and a lot of people commented commented about this last time and how I didn't bring it up. And yes, I will admit that when you get to the part where you're killing tribesmen with the big wooden masks carrying spears, it can get a little uncomfortable.
Now, let me ask you a question. When you meet the tribesmen, do any of them ask you to buy them a fish sandwich at Wendy's?
No, they do not. So it's not as uncomfortable as that.
Right. Well, that's good to know.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, I can't remember a single thing about the story in Resident Evil 4.
But no, you're Leon Kennedy. You're saving the president's daughter.
Great. Did the same thing in Bad Dudes.
But what else do you need? That is a good story. You know why? Because it's simple, and it's okay. Enough motivation to get you through a game that could be either 1 hour or 30 hours.
Okay.
That's all you need. That is your one plot device.
Here's what I say to all, and then we're going to move on. Buy Dark Sector, and then buy Resident Evil later when it's cheaper.
Okay.
I also bought Prince of Persia, which
I have sitting in a GameFly envelope.
I like Dark Sector better. I mean, Prince of Persia, it's very beautiful to look at. I mean, it's a very pretty game. Animation is great. The problem that I have with Prince of Persia is I feel like I'm not really even controlling the prince. I feel like I'm playing Dragon's Lair in that, I'm pushing up, left, right, or down, and then he's going to do some movement, and I'm just sort of putting him through his paces, but I don't really feel like I'm having that much direct control over him. Like Assassin's Creed, I felt more like I was controlling the guy and really involved. This, I just feel sort of detached from the character. I don't like the combat either. The combat feels exactly the same way, like Dragon's Lair combat. Like I have to push a predetermined, set of controls, in order to get the proper response from the guy. I don't know. I bought both games at the same time. I've played maybe an hour of Prince of Persia, and I've played 9 hours of Dark Sector. So that's, probably just a matter of personal preference, but not particularly blown away by Prince of Persia. I would definitely wait for a big price drop on. I mean, it's already at $40, so, $20 is right around the corner, I'm sure. Or a rental is probably better. But you haven't played it yet, right?
I haven't.
Maybe we'll talk about it more when you've had a chance to check it out.
Sounds good.
You also checked out the new downloadable content from Fallout 3.
Yes. Fallout 3, the Pit.
Pit. You actually got it to work somehow.
Well, they re-released it, and that's when I bought it.
Didn't they re-release it twice?
No, just the one time.
Are you sure?
Yeah, well, yes. Okay. I'll say yes. Beats me.
Okay.
But, yeah, I played it. I finished it. It was pretty good. Actually, it is good. It's good content. Is it worth the $10? If you really like Fallout 3 and you're familiar with Pittsburgh, then you have to buy it.
Okay. If you're from Pittsburgh, you're going to buy it.
Yeah. And having lived in the city for 4 years... being able to, there are buildings on the skyline and you do pass by some iconic things and you go, hey, that's that. Wow, I can't believe they put that in there. Some of the designers of the game went to Carnegie Mellon, which is in Pittsburgh. Hence that's where the connection is for anyone who cares.
How long? So it's $10. How much content do you get? How long does it take?
I want to say it was 4 to 5 hours maybe.
Okay. Is it the same type of stuff that you're doing in the main game, or is it some new
gameplay stuff? Yeah, it's basically more, it's just an extension of the main game. The way you get to Pittsburgh from Washington, D.C. is completely preposterous, but you kind of throw that out the window. And this is the one thing about it, which I don't know if is necessarily a problem or a benefit. As in everything with Fallout 3, you come to a point where you have to make a decision. And in the Fallout, in this DLC for the Pit, the decision isn't as black or white as it is in the rest of the game.
Hmm.
And not only, but here's where it gets kind of annoying. Because I wanted to see what would happen, I paid my $10. I did both endings. When you get to the point where you have to make a decision, you just save your game and then you can go back.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So I did both. And first of all, one decision that you make is significantly easier than the other decision.
Mm-hmm.
Significantly. You make one decision and the game's over in 15 minutes. The other decision, you're going to wind up playing the game for another 2 hours.
Wow. So that's a big deal. Why do they do that? That's a bad design decision. Well, it's punishing you.
I don't want to give it away. I can explain why, but it's kind of strange. The other thing also
maybe
is
you should maybe you should tell our listeners which decision they should make to get the longer gameplay.
If you don't want to hear a spoiler, skip now. What you're gonna want to do is take the baby.
Okay, that's it. Well, that's, you know, okay.
That's all I'll say.
If you want to maximize your money.
Yeah, and what happens is the end result of either decision is basically the same.
Right.
You get the same, you know, the same perk at the end. You don't lose karma, you don't gain karma. Which is what was surprising to me. I at least expected one of them to give me karma and one to take it away. As with most decisions in the game, but not so much. Yeah, so, again, though, it is good. It is fun to see, you know, the Cathedral of Learning is in there, which is the school building that I went to. And, you know, you could see all the main buildings of the skyline. You could even see Station Square when you're walking across the bridge.
All right.
So it has some cool Pittsburgh moments, but if you're not from the city and you're not sure if you're still into the game, you may not necessarily want to spend $10 on it.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of regret. I bought the Fable 2 DLC. I don't even remember what it was called. Not Whole Island.
Yes.
That was
Butthole
$10.
Balloon Knot.
I regret buying
Balloon Knot Island.
What?
Nothing. Go ahead. Yes.
I sort of regret buying that. I never finished it, and I don't know. I didn't feel like I was getting my money's worth. But they've announced another add-on for Fable 2.
This one sounds good, and I happen to like Not Whole Island.
You did? I mean, I don't know.
It is amazing how I'll complain about how things aren't worth $10, and then I'll spend $10 in junk. But
right,
I guess
this
it's
one is cheaper.
This, oh yeah, that is it is. That.
This new one is called, what's it called? See the Future.
Yep.
Yeah, and this one is 560 points. How the hell did they come up with that? That way you can never figure out exactly what the price is.
Yeah.
You never. I mean, is it $8? Is it $7? I don't know. I mean, I know you can figure it out. But I don't know. I guess a few more quests, whatever. I'm not buying this one, I don't think. Unless Wombat comes on and tells me that it's the freaking best thing ever. You can change your dog's breed, I guess. That's pretty exciting.
I think you could change it into a whole other animal, I thought.
A whole other animal?
Because that might be worth it to me. I think.
Oh, yeah, would you need your dog to be something else?
I don't know. If I could change it into a pig.
And lastly, on the downloadable content front, Saints Row 2. Downloadable content starring Tara Patrick, the porn star. Wombat.
Are you going to get that?
I will probably get it because I've finished Saints Row 2, and I would like an excuse to go back there. You get like a bunch of new vehicles. There's new quest. It says it adds about 3 hours to the game. It would be nice if I could play co-op with somebody.
Are you going to do some field research on Tara Patrick before you download it for the game?
Oh, I don't need to do any more research. I've done plenty of research.
Are you you're familiar with her body of work?
I'm familiar with her body.
Ba-dum-bum.
Ba-dum-bum. Yeah, I don't know. She's okay. She's a little fake looking for me.
Yeah.
But I'm certainly, you know, if they had Tara Patrick or they didn't have Tara Patrick, would make no difference whatsoever in my purchasing decision of this downloadable content. I could give a shit either way. I'm just, you know, looking to get back into, back to the row, Wombat. They got some new vehicles.
That.
They got a vehicle that shoots rockets.
You know what? I'm going to say this, and people may disagree with me, but I don't think there's anything sexy about video games.
Have you played the latest Tomb Raider?
Yeah, it's not sexy.
I was in the store the other day, and they had a demo kiosk of the Tomb Raider Underworld, and I saw, like, Lara Croft is in a wetsuit. And, of course, you know, it's a third-person game, so the camera's right behind her. And you,
yeah,
you know,
I played the game.
The suit is, like, up the crack of her ass.
It's whatever.
But what are you going to do? Are you going to start, like, you know, jerking off while you're playing the game or
something? Yeah, nothing about – there's no video game that's ever – turned me on, we'll say.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I can't think of one that's like...
It's not a medium for that. And it's funny that they try to shoehorn that into games, but I don't think it's effective. Nor should it be. I'll even say that. I think it's a bad idea. But,
Right, and every woman that's in a video game always has, like, you know, giant cans, totally unnecessarily.
Exactly, when they should all look like the chick from the Aha video.
God, how can you remember what she looks like?
Because I saw it yesterday.
I just, you know, I sang it in lips the other day, and I saw the video, and I don't remember what she looks like. Anyway, let's move on to Sony Wombat.
Yes.
Wait, let's do this one. Last. What is this you put about this behind the bullet thing?
Oh, I guess you didn't download it?
No.
Okay, you know the Killzone 2 commercial?
No.
You don't know? Okay, there's a Killzone 2 commercial, which is taken from all in-game footage, they say. Re-edited in-game footage, which shows a bullet coming out of the gun of your, you know, soldier.
Uh-huh.
And swarming through a group of Hellgas and then getting one squaw in the face in the commercial ends.
Okay.
In the Behind the Bullet download, which is free on the PlayStation Network, and I downloaded it, you can basically control the bullet in the commercial.
Oh.
And kind of see how they did things and how they layered it. And it's actually kind of neat. I mean, for a free download, it's pretty nifty. There's a director's commentary, which I haven't listened to yet, on the commercial. It shows you, like, you could take effects away and put effects in to see what difference, like, oh, you could take out the shadowing. You could take out the lighting and see how that makes a difference on how it looks. And, you know. So if you're interested in the behind-the-scenes of video games, how games are made, or just think it's a neat commercial and want a free little toy to play with, it's right there on the PlayStation Network. I highly recommend it.
Very nice.
It's really entertaining. So pick it up because it's free.
I'm afraid to turn my PS3 on because I know there's a system update.
Yes, that actually didn't take me very long, so it probably won't take you very long either.
I hate doing that.
I had to get the update before I got the bullet movie. So
why?
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, Wombat. Maybe you can answer this for me because I'm at a loss here. How come when Microsoft has an update on the 360, it takes about 5 seconds and I don't have to do anything except just say yes once to accept the update? Mm-hmm. With the PS3, it seems like going through user agreements, restarting the machine. I'm like, I have to be involved, and it takes, you know, it takes me, my involvement and 5 minutes.
Because the PlayStation 1's more important.
The what? The PlayStation what is more
important?
What do you mean?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Speaking of
Killzone 2, there's supposed to be a major Killzone 2 announcement on the next Game Trailers TV. If I have to guess, and I certainly have no inside information, I mean, and I'll ask you for your guess, Wombat.
Are you sitting in a squeaky chair, or are you just gassy? What is it?
Yeah, my chair. I need to get a new chair. Sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead. Annoying, you were saying something now.
I'm guessing that this major announcement is some sort of map pack download, right? I mean,
map pack.
I
think it's actually going to be that Pac-Man is going to be a playable character.
No. I mean, no? It can't be. Like, what could it be, really?
Solid Snake is a playable character, and that's Ratchet.
And Ratchet, and Little Big Planet guy, Sackboy.
And Sackboy, yes.
Okay, well, that's Wombat's guess. You heard my guess. I guess we'll find out very soon.
And the dude from Pain.
Who's right. Also, they'll have the first BioShock 2 footage.
Under the Sea, or whatever they're calling it.
Well,
sea of Dreams.
It's not Under the Sea, Wombat. You got to keep track of that.
Sea of Dreams, that's what they...
No, they said... No, it's just BioShock 2.
I know. Well, you know, the world went apeshit for some reason.
I don't think anybody cared. I just think...
Yeah, people did care. It was like all the blogosphere thought it was stupid, and then they dropped it, and really, who cares?
I think they just people post those news items because they, you know, they need to post something every 5 minutes. Otherwise, it's like they're not working. So that becomes a major story somehow. I mean, who gives a shit what it's called?
I know,
like
I don't.
BioShock 2. And it's going to be stupid because you're going to be playing as a big daddy. They should call it BioShock 2 Major Disappointment.
Wah, wah.
No, BioShock 2, what the fuck were we thinking?
There was a good comment about the game, actually, in the CADcast thread.
Oh, what'd they say?
from our friend at BioShock, who knows the people that are making the game.
A friend at BioShock?
Yeah, we have our friend at BioShock.
What do you mean we have a friend at BioShock?
BioWare, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Our friend at BioWare, who knows the people that are making the game, actually had something to say about it. You she keep it talking, good. I'm going to look up this.
Okay. Wombat, did you know that there's bringing new features to SingStar, one of my favorite PS3 games? I guess this is like something added to a new section in the SingStar. Not really saying what it is, but it looks like it's going to be, it says new gameplay features and maybe some sort of effects and stuff that you can add to the songs. I'm not sure. But I like SingStar, and I would use it more if it had wireless microphones, which supposedly they're adding eventually. They're going to be selling wireless microphones, but not yet. What else we got, Wombat? Let's see. Oh, this is great. Okay. So we all know the DSi came out this week.
Yes, we do.
And I don't know why, like, these different gaming marketing people feel the need to comment on their competition. Because obviously, you're not going to say anything nice about your competition. So why, you know, what's the point? Whatever you have to say is incredibly tainted. You can never get over that. So basically,
I found the comment I was looking for.
Oh, what's that?
From our friend Kite. She goes, is this the place for CAGBAG feedback to go? I'll assume it is in post. Anyway, this is about your BioShock 2 concerns. It's true that Ken Levine does not appear to be involved in BioShock 2. However, many key players from the BioShock team have moved on to BioShock 2. BioShock's producer, Alisa Finley, is working on BioShock 2. The creative director is Jordan Thomas, who was in a senior creative role on BioShock. The lead programmer and lead designer were also in senior roles on BioShock 1. I am not saying this guarantees BioShock 2 will be great, but many people tend to look at BioShock and see only Ken Levine. He was a huge part of in its success, no doubt, but he didn't build the game solo. Given he's not involved, 2K appears to have done everything they can to guarantee as much creativity and experience from BioShock has been carried over to BioShock 2. She also mentions that she's met them all personally and can say that they really know what they're doing. They're a smart bunch, and give them a chance.
Give them a chance. I'll give them a chance while I'm at.
Will you do that for her?
Of course, just for her.
Okay.
Anyway, so Sony was talking about this. Who was this? This is
That DSi Smack Talk?
I don't know. Should I just skip this?
Yeah, because really, you know what? I think we're better than that.
Okay, fine. We are better than that.
We are
Let's
better.
Just move right to Nintendo.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about the DSi, because you said you got to check out the DSi.
I did. I went to a DSi. Well, I didn't plan on going to a DSi launch event. They just happened to have one at the Target.
Right.
And I got to play with it and play a little Rhythm Heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you want to play Rhythm Heaven at home, but don't feel like buying the game, you could just move your hand every now and again in an upward motion. And turn on some music. Because it's basically the same thing. Because that's the game. It's just 1, 2, 3, 4, flick. 1, 2, 3, 4, flick. And if you want a challenge, you could do it faster every now and again. But just, you know, keep counting to yourself, listen to music, and just move your hand in upward motion. That's Rhythm Heaven. That was the angry feedback moment of the show.
It didn't sound that angry.
I know. But that's when people get angry.
Well, what do you think about the DSi hardware? You got to,
you know, actually, I was kind of impressed because it feels a little solider, which is a word I just made up.
Yes, more solid, I believe, is what you're
a little more solid. And the screen is, I think, the screen is noticeably bigger.
It's a tiny bit bigger. It's a quarter of an inch bigger.
See
it?
I see, but I noticed it, and that's what it takes. And it just there was, I think, the heft to it. It was just a little weightier. And I like
it. Lighter.
That.
It's lighter.
See, I thought it was weightier. It
but
felt more solid. It didn't feel as hollow as the, which it isn't because it doesn't have that DS slot.
Right.
There was just something about it. Also, they gave me a really nice lanyard and some magnets.
Great. No wonder why they bribed you to get these
they said,
kind comments
out
of
you. They said, hey, if we give you these magnets, will you say nice things about the show? Like, I don't know, just magnets? Okay, fine, we'll give you a lanyard. And I'm like,
lanyard?
Count me in.
Shit.
Will I buy one? No.
I don't know. I think, I mean, if you already have a DS Lite, would you recommend that it's worth the people to buy the DSi?
No, I mean, I guess the trade-in deal isn't terrible that they have in a GameStop right now, but I guess, but I still don't know if it's necessarily worth it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just
for
like,
those
I'm
who don't know,
interested.
If you trade in your DS Lite towards the purchase of a DSi, you get $70 in instant credit.
Yeah, I mean, people talking about like the what is it, the DSiWare store? I don't know.
Some games came out for it today.
Yeah, but are they really any good? I mean, I think you're gonna find better games and cheaper games on the iPhone.
You find better games and cheaper games on the Game Boy Advance.
Right. I don't know. Well, for me, I wasn't impressed. Maybe just because I have a Japanese version and it's all in Japanese. I don't know. I would be hard pressed to recommend somebody laying out $170 for this if they already have a DS Lite. I don't know. I don't think it's much of an upgrade, frankly. That's just me. But if, you know, opinions do differ, Wombat. And also, nobody gave me magnets or a lanyard.
Yeah, that's why I think it's awesome and everyone should buy one.
Right.
Please send your magnets and lanyards to Wombat, care of the CanCast.
Okay, Wombat, here's where I need your expertise here.
Sure.
Talking about video game industry management, saying weird shit that we have no idea what they're talking about. Reggie did an interview. Reggie Fils-Aimé. See, I got it there. Mm-hmm. Did an interview with VentureBeat. Okay? And during the course of the interview, they started talking about used games. And Reggie says some crazy shit. He says, here's a quote. And I actually went to the source to make sure I was getting the exact quotes and not, you know, not taking shit out of context. Here's Reggie. We don't believe used games are in the best interest of the consumer. We have products that consumers want to hold on to. They want to play all the levels of a Zelda game and unlock all of the levels. A game like Personal Trainer Cooking has a long life. That's not even a game. Isn't that just a recipe collection?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
We believe used games aren't in the consumer's best interest. I don't understand what unlocking all the levels in Zelda or that Personal Trainer Cooking has a long life has anything to do
with... I just like that sentence in general. They want to play all the levels of a Zelda game and unlock all the levels.
He must have been high.
I don't know. But maybe he was drunk.
I don't know. He's one fish sandwich short of a picnic, I think.
He is one fish, yes.
It's just really weird.
The last time I was at Nintendo, they bought me a fish sandwich.
And then VentureBeat's like, after he says, we believe used games aren't in the consumer's best interest, VentureBeat says, because? And Reggie goes on, because another form of entertainment that has a vibrant... describe another form of entertainment that has a vibrant used good market. Used books have never taken off. You don't see businesses selling used music CDs or used DVDs. Why? The consumer likes having a brand new experience and reliving it over and over again. If you create the right type of experience, that also happens in video games. I don't know. I mean, in Japan, there's used bookstores everywhere. I can, you know, there's like
here too.
Three
you know
in
what
my
else
town.
There is? There's this place, there's one right around the corner from my house, and you go there, and you show them that you live in town, and they give you books.
Isn't that called a library?
I have no idea what the place is called. I just know where you go. And if I show them that I live in town, they give me free books.
And what does this mean? The consumer likes having a brand new experience and reliving it over and over again?
I have no idea what that means.
That doesn't even make sense. How can you have a brand new experience if you're reliving it?
I love the movie WALL-E so much. Every time I watch it, it's like the first time I've seen it.
It's like when those women get their hymens reconstructed, so they're like, they get their virginity back.
And that's why the used hymen market has never succeeded.
I don't know. He's saying a lot of crazy shit. Reggie, I don't know. He must have been very tired or something.
Maybe he was jet lagged.
And then he goes on to say, he doesn't answer any of the guy's questions. And then he says, the next question, this is the end of this discussion, by the way. He says, VentureBeat asks, could this be rectified if the retailers share some of the used game revenue with the publishers? And Reggie answers, that could make it more palatable, but we just think it's a bad idea. The one retailer that has a substantial business in this has figured out a way that is effective for the consumer. That's tough for other retailers experimenting with this, in part because their employees don't have the expertise in this market. What the fuck are you talking about?
You said the F word, I'm telling.
I said it, yeah. Fish sandwich, you mean?
Yes, fish sandwich.
I don't know. He's in, I don't know. They got to lock Reggie up a little bit. He's he went a little
crazy.
He's,
I think he's suffering from ivory tower disease, if you want to know what I think.
I think what he means to say is Nintendo makes games that are so compelling that our customers don't feel the need that they need to sell them. They want to hold on to them and play them over and over again. And that's all he needs to say, and that makes sense. And... you know, then they could. He obviously doesn't want to talk about used games, and that could, you know, get onto the next discussion. I mean, I don't know where he's coming up with this stuff. It sounds like a person who's never played video games before or never bought a video game before.
Speaking of trading in games, the guy in front of me online at the GameStop when I went to get my Namco arcade collection.
Yeah, he asked you if you ever played Killzone 2.
He was trading in a duffel bag's worth of games.
Oh God!
And they were all like $1, $2 each, and he wanted the cash.
Right.
And they said, okay, sir, do you have a debit card that we could put the money onto? And the guy says, no, I don't have one of those. And they said, do you have a driver's license? He goes, I have a state ID. Is that okay?
Oh, God. I thought you were going to say he was online at GameStop and he asked you if you ever played Killzone 2. And he was going to start telling you how good the game is, but he can't afford it.
Last time I was here, I was talking about Metal Gear Solid 4. And the person was nice enough to buy it for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she did. So what did they do? Did they give the guy cash or what?
Yeah, they gave him. It was like $32.
But they only give you like, you know, half if you ask for cash.
It was 20%. Like it was like he could have gotten like 50 some odd dollars, and he wound up with 30 some odd dollars.
Oh, I'm sure those games were acquired legitimately too.
I'm sure they were.
I'm sure they were installed.
Mm-hmm.
What did I do? Did I erase a lot of stuff here? No, oh, I see. Okay. So that's Reggie being crazy. Also in the world of Nintendo, I guess EA is putting out a tennis game called Grand Slam Tennis. And one of the producers of the game says that they were going to use the Motion Plus add-on for the Wiimote, which makes things, I guess, more, you know, accurate. But they said that it was actually too sensitive. And that they had to take out the support for Motion Plus. He says, tells Tech Radar, at times it's overly responsive. It had so much fidelity that at times we have limited that fidelity to make it a compelling experience and giving you full total control. Oh, I guess they didn't take it out, but they had to really scale it back, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, Wombat, let's move on to some Kegs on News. Everybody likes Kegs on News. And we have news that you're interested in, Wombat, because a lot of it is comic book related.
I know
you're very excited about Marvel Alliance 2 and the new characters they announced.
Well, they only announced one character.
I thought the Iron Fist and...
Well, they announced Songbird, but she's crap, so it doesn't count.
I thought the other guy, Luke Cage was in the last one.
Has always been in the game. He was announced from day one. He was in the last one, too.
I see. Okay.
So that doesn't count. But Iron Fist was not in the last one, and those who might remember actually have complained, saying that there's no reason why Iron Fist should not be in Marvel Ultimate Alliance, and they listened to me, and here he is in Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2, and I'm very, very happy about that, because he's
actually a
very good character for the game.
I watched the trailer, and I could not figure out what his power is. His power is that he's good at Kung Fu?
That is his power. And he has one fist that's indestructible. Just one.
Oh. How is it indestructible? Why is that?
Because when he was the chosen one to be the protector of the lost city of Kunlun, he stuck his fist into the heart of a dragon. Duh. Mm.
Who doesn't know that?
What are you, stupid?
Is he Chinese?
No, he's not. He's a blonde white guy named Danny Rand.
What? That's ridiculous.
No, he is the one of many Iron Fists that have existed for centuries.
That's a white guy.
I don't know if they've all been white guys.
That's stupid.
That's not stupid. It's the story.
He's all doing everything Chinese, and he's not Chinese.
He has a black girlfriend.
That doesn't count. He's have a Chinese girlfriend, at least.
He hangs out with Shang-Chi. He's Chinese.
I don't know who that is.
I know.
Is that a restaurant or something?
Yeah, it's a restaurant. No, that's his friend, who's also a martial artist. And, of course, you know, Luke Cage. He hangs out with Luke Cage. He fights crime, and he's a billionaire.
He likes black guys, but and he's not Chinese, but he does everything Chinese.
Basically. Well, he's also a billionaire.
And he's a billionaire. Oh, great. Just sounds great.
It's a good comic book. You should read the Ed Brubaker run of Iron Fist, and you will change your tune.
No.
Yeah.
All right, let me ask you this one, Matt. Or not sure. Ask you. Well, I guess I'll ask you. Did you see this the Wolverine Developer's Diary video?
I did not see the Wolverine Developer Diary video, but I see that he promises that the game does not suck.
Yeah, I watched the video, X-Men Origins Wolverine. The game looks pretty good, actually.
I know some people that have played it and who have said that the game is actually much better than people might think it's going to be. So I'm actually looking forward to this one as well.
Yeah, it looks pretty badass. I mean, Wolverine's like tossing people off of bridges. He's pouncing like really far and, you know, kicking a lot of ass while I'm at.
That's what Wolverines do best.
Yes, they do. Also in the news, Konami has announced a game based on a real battle in Iraq called 6 Days in Fallujah.
Oh, I thought that was the sequel to One Night in Paris.
No, Ahmed, it's not. It's being developed by Atomic Games. I looked at their past games that they've made, and I didn't really know anything about them. I couldn't never heard of them.
See, all this time I thought Fallujah was one of them Kardashian sisters.
No, no. I mean, have you ever heard of any of these games, Wombat? Well, it's the they make the V for Victory games and the Close Combat games.
Are those PC games?
Those are PC games.
Yeah, see, that's might as well be
a foreign language. Yeah. So I don't know anything about that, but I don't know. See, it's going to be a third-person action game. Also, what's this about you, Suzuki?
And I am kidding about the Fallujah thing, because people are going to be like, that was tasteless. It's too soon.
Right.
Yeah. Isn't that the whole point of the game, though? Is it too soon? Isn't that what we're supposed to be talking about?
Oh, too soon? What do you mean? It's a video game about war. War is everywhere.
People say that it's bad taste, that it's too soon, and that the war's still going on, and they shouldn't be making games about wars that are happening.
I'm sure it's like a simulation type thing. It's not like they're putting. Well, look, they made that 50 Cent game, and he's going. Isn't he going to Iraq?
That's true. If 50 Cent can go to the Middle East, why not?
And he's probably calling everybody bitches. He does.
He says a lot of vulgar terms that I would not repeat in mixed company.
So if that's okay, and I'm sure they don't call it Iraq, they make up some name, but obviously it's supposed to be Iraq. You know, this is supposed
to be
like.
Why would 50 go play a concert in Iraq when we're at war with them?
Why would people what?
Why would 50 Cent perform a concert in a country we're at war with?
Because he needs money. He's hungry.
He doesn't need money. He sold all that vitamin water stock.
I know, that's crazy. He likes money. I don't know. He wanted to. I don't know why. Don't ask me these jerky questions.
He's a bad man.
Do you want to do this Sega thing?
Did I put that on there?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, we don't have to. I don't care.
Screw it. Next.
Screw you, Suzuki.
Yeah.
And his smaller role at Sega.
He has a smaller role.
Okay, you just got the story.
There you go.
Right. Let's move on
to
the
Cagbag. Fallujah Kardashian.
Cagbag, show us your tweets, Wombat.
Or twits. This week it was twits.
Pick out a few here.
Okay. Oh, did you?
I'll pick out one first, and then I'll let you think about your choices. Mike Wenner asks or says, "I get news faster from Twitter than I do from 1UP. What does that mean for the future of games coverage?" You know, I don't know about you, Wombat, but I get most of the news through like RSS readers.
You know, you have your Google alerts too.
Through what?
Google. You're big on Google Alerts.
No, but I don't get news through Google Alerts. I use Google. I use Google Alerts to read what other people are saying about me and Cheap Ass Gamer.
That's all the news you care about.
Right, of course. But for actual news, I just use RSS readers because I find that's the quickest way. And you know, you just get the news right there. You know, a lot of these websites. There's just as much ads on the page as there are news, and you don't really benefit much from actually visiting the site. In fact, sometimes the navigation is, and in many cases, the navigation is more difficult to do on the actual site than in an RSS reader. So, and basically, that's what Twitter is doing. It's really just basically delivering headlines to you in something that's like an RSS reader. It's just, you know, or really, Twitter is really like an instant message client.
In a way, yeah. And you're just sending a message, in your case, to 3,000 people at once.
Exactly. So, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of these big sites, they got to be careful about their spending. But if you look at the ones that are successful, like Kotaku and Joystick and Destructoid, you know, they probably don't have a lot of expenses. It's just bringing you the news. They don't really, you know, it's probably not dumping out a lot of money. And that was the problem with 1UP, too. They were spending too much money, and now they have five people working there, probably. I don't know if I answered your question. Wombat, pick another thingamajon.
Okay. Did you see this? Terp Kristen brings this up, talking about the Star Wars nerds wanting an April Fool's product from Think Geek. I can't speak. No. From ThinkGeek.com. Did you see this?
No, what was the product?
Okay, and someone posted it on a CAG blog also, but I'm not going to dig that up. It was a sleeping bag that looks like
I saw that.
The Tauntaun sleeping bag?
Yes.
And that was badass. They got so many requests for it that they've reached out to LucasArts to see if they can actually make it and license it.
Yep. And look, Lucas doesn't say no to anything, so.
It's true, and it is pretty badass. And right. So, yes, I have seen it, and yes, I don't think they would sell it at the price they had listed, but if they did, there is a good chance that I might buy one.
Hmm. Yeah. Wombat, you got to watch your expenses here. You can't that be buying can't overpriced licensed garbage.
I said if it costs what they were listing it as, but they won't. But okay. That's true.
I'll do one here. A house that Ruth built wants to know when we're bringing back live shows. I don't know. I just don't think the technology is ready for us, given our distance from each other. It never goes smoothly. I enjoy taking calls from people, but just the delay, the latency just sort of ruins it, and it makes it less fun for everybody.
Unless by live show we do a show in front of a live audience, which is my dream. I want to do a live studio audience show.
That's some dream.
It's my dream.
That's your dream. My dream is quitting.
That's real nice. You know how to make a man feel special. Hipster Please asks, who is my favorite second string Batman villain? I'm going to go with Maxi Zeus.
Oh, God. I never even heard of that.
He was on the TV show as well, but he's the guy who thinks that he is Zeus.
Does he throw lightning?
He doesn't. He's just a regular guy. He's just kind of crazy.
Right. All right, let's do some regular CAGBAG questions, Wombat, if that's okay with you.
I'm ready for them.
Max Dent says, I just received an email from Netflix informing me that the fee for Blu-ray disc rentals is being increased from $1 a month to $4 a month. In true cheap-ass fashion, I promptly canceled my Blu-ray access. Do you guys think, as I do, that Blu-ray discs are far too expensive, especially for movies I already own on DVD? Also, the PS3 is such a good up-converting DVD player, do you think most people will cancel their Blu-ray access from Netflix? We talked about this before. We thought that Blu-ray discs are much too expensive.
They are. They need to be they need to start at $15 a piece.
I was watching the coverage of this on CNET. I don't know exactly what show it was, but some show was talking about it. And I think that they were, I don't know if they were serious about it. It's hard to tell when people are being snarky and kidding around if they're actually being serious. But I actually thought that this was a good insight. They thought that Netflix, by raising the price for the Blu-ray rentals, is trying actually to kill off Blu-ray. Because Netflix is a huge player now in the movie business.
They are. And if you're interested in learning why they're such a huge player...
Right, you can go to netflix.com/cadcast and sign up for a free 2-week trial.
Yeah, sign up for a free trial. That's www.com.
What?
I don't know what I'm saying anymore. www.netflix.com/cadcast and sign up for a 2-week trial.
But anyway, so they go on to say, I mean, they say that maybe they're trying to kill off Blu-ray. And you got to think, like, Netflix, if Netflix had their druthers, they would probably just want to stream everything and not send out another disc again, Blu-ray or DVD.
Did you say brothers in conversation?
I did, Wombat. I what play, what musical is that from? Little Abner, I think.
I see.
Or Oklahoma. I can't remember. It's one or the other. It was in a camp play that I saw. Summer camp play.
Why did you see a camp play? What were you doing? It's not even summer.
No, not recently. Like 20 years ago.
Whatever, you pedophile. What's next?
No, no. But don't you think, like, if Netflix had their way, they would just rather never send out another DVD again, never send out a Blu-ray disc, and just stream everything? Because it's got to be cheaper for
them. I'm going to say no, actually. I think Why? That for them, there's you'd be surprised how much money there is in Netflix for them when they send out a DVD and someone holds on to it.
But look think about this. They need like these warehouses. They need to buy DVDs. They need to store them. It's always sort of a risk whether they're buying the right amount or not. It costs them money to mail these discs out.
I agree.
Sometimes
the discs break.
That
exists. I'm just saying that I think there's two sides. I think that there's. I don't think they would. I don't think their users want everything to be
streaming.
I know.
I understand what the people like to have the DVD, but I think what Netflix wants is an all streaming future. And they'll be basically like a cable TV service. You know, an on demand cable TV service. I think that's what they want. I mean, maybe
I'm sure
they
would love that, but I don't think it's gonna happen.
So that's maybe what they're trying to do. They don't want to buy Blu-ray discs. I mean, it sucks for them.
Yeah, they're expensive.
Much cheap. Yeah. Let's see what else we got. Matkin says, why don't you ever acknowledge that it's a better deal to download games on PlayStation Network than on Xbox Live Arcade because of game sharing? I'm in a game sharing group with four other kegs, and I get downloadable games for 1/5 of the normal price. Do you think game sharing is dishonest or something? Because you never mention it. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, so now we're mentioning it. We're now acknowledging it, that it's a better deal.
Even Sony acknowledges it as a better deal.
Who does?
Sony. The company that has it? Yeah,
the president of Jack Tretton, I think he's the president.
Yeah, whatever.
He says that he said for people to do that, so it's not dishonest. He says that's a feature.
I've done it to you.
You've stolen my games many times.
I stole like 10 of your games one night.
Yes.
That was a good time.
Frisky Tanuki, who he said is never wrong, has this question. He says, what was the message that you two got from Activision's announcement of the sequel to Call of Duty 4, eschewing the original name of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 for simply Modern Warfare 2? Is it arrogance that they assume it will sell just as well without the Call of Duty name, or do you get something else from it? Do you think that the Call of Duty brand that Infinity Ward built up is being given to Treyarch now after seeing that they can sell Call of Duty games as well as Infinity Ward could? I don't know. I mean, you could see a lot of things into this. Maybe Infinity Ward wants to get away from Activision somehow. Maybe they're looking for another publisher that'll give them a better deal. I don't know how that, you know, what type of agreement they have with Activision. Maybe they're using this as sort of leverage with Activision to get a better deal from them. Maybe it's just they think that Call of Duty really has nothing to do with Modern Warfare, and they're trying to get away from that. I don't think it's arrogance. I think that they've built an awesome game. But you're right in a way that, I mean, do you think like Joe Gamer, who doesn't go to IGN, doesn't go to Read Joystick or anything, do you think he knows the Call of Duty 4 as Call of Duty 4 or Modern Warfare?
Oh, Call of Duty 4, hands down, and I think that the average Joe Gamer, as you call him, will walk into his local store and see Modern Warfare 2 and not know that it's Call of Duty 4-2.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I think you're right. So I think it seems like a bad marketing move to me. I mean, why you have this great brand built up.
I guarantee you somewhere on the box it says the highly anticipated sequel to Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare.
Right, in huge letters, just as big as the title.
Yeah, it will say that on the box.
It has to. Otherwise, it's just a terrible waste of marketing.
Marketing will not let that out the door without it saying the highly anticipated, and that those will be the words. It'll say the highly anticipated sequel to Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare.
Yeah, our friend at Activision, who's not listening to this, can tell you if you're right.
I'm sure he could.
Here's a couple of questions. Both are similar. Strong Boy asks, Cheapy, I am going to TGS. Is there any way I can sneak in the press days? And Zay Darkness says he wants to know if he can get into E3 and he's 15 and not part of the industry. To answer the TGS question, look, it's very easy to get into the press days. Just apply for a press pass. you're applying to, you know, the people who are approving your registration are in Japan. Do you think they have any idea of whether you, you know, you could make up a website and say, oh, I work for, you know, cockandballs.com. We're really big in America. We talk, you know, we're the biggest, one of the biggest gaming sites out there.
No one talks about cocks, balls, and games like we do. That
right,
could be a website.
The big...
cocks, balls, and games.com.
Nobody covers the big three like us. look, they're not going to know. I mean, so, and to answer the E3 thing, you can probably get it. You're 15. You're not going to get in because you need a driver's license to get in. And unless you have a very good fake ID, you're not going to get in. And you probably, you know, unless you look like you're really old, which you probably don't because your grammar's not that great. I don't know what that has to do with him looking old.
I have no idea because my grammar's not great. And when I was 15, I looked like I was 80. So then again, right. I had that Benjamin Button disease.
Dre297 says, why so much hate towards Heroes? The show is very good. The last episode was amazing. It almost brought me to tears. But then again, we are talking about the same people that think that the first Transformers movie was crap. Well, Wombat likes the first Transformers movie. I guess he just bought it.
I like it. I what can I say? I know you hated it. I don't think it's a cinematic masterpiece, but I think it's, you know, good, mindless, you know, nothing on TV right. movie.
Speaking of Heroes, the last episode brought me to tears as well, but it was because I was laughing so hard at how bad it was.
That was the one with Rebel?
No. The last one that I saw is the one with, it's with when they go to Mexico.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And the best way they can think of to make money, this guy's a fucking senator. His best idea of making money in Mexico, because they have no money and they're on the lam, his best idea is to get into a drinking contest with some spring breakers. That's a senator's best idea.
Not only that, but he was too stupid to realize that his daughter / companion, who has a regenerative power, couldn't right. just keep drinking without getting drunk.
Right. It's and everything was they're in Mexico and everything is in American dollars and there's no Mexicans. But it's a great show though. It's really good.
I like the
that's
show.
That's just a.
It's the hero's coma, which I'm missing.
I know. My wife agrees with you, though. She's totally into that because I guess it was Friday night. We're like, all right, we can watch the new episode of Heroes or we can watch Mad Men. And she's like, I don't want to use my brain for 1 second. Put on Heroes. And I said, okay, brain off.
And why is that bad?
It's just stupid. It's fun for me because I get to make fun of it.
Yeah, I mean, why is that bad? Not everything needs to be Mad Men is what I'm saying.
I understand. I know. It's, you know, look, it makes Superman 2 look like Shakespeare.
As I say, that's also why I watched Smallville, is so I could just shut off my brain.
And I like yelling at the TV while I'm watching Heroes.
Yeah, Heroes, you should watch Smallville, just so you could have something else to yell at.
No thanks.
But you know what, you probably wouldn't get it, and it's too late now anyway.
Exactly, I'm not getting into that. Let's do a few more quick ones and we'll wrap it up. MKG12 wants to know if we're going to PAX 2009. E3 sounds like a done deal, but not sure about PAX. I would like to go to PAX. I had a lot of fun last time, but it's just tough for me to leave Ty here with my wife by themselves and, you know, Osaka grandma. It's just, I don't think it's going to happen unless I bring them all with me again, and that's probably not going to happen. Any news with you, Wombat, for E3?
No news is good news, I'm going to say.
What does that mean?
Well, the changeover hasn't happened at work yet, so.
Oh, the layoffs? The impending layoffs?
Yeah. Yeah.
So are you gonna? When are you gonna buy a plane ticket?
Probably by the end of this month.
Okay.
Yeah.
Last question, Wombat, because I thought this was a good one. Cursor says, I'm right at the same age as Cheapy, born in September 1973. I think that possibly because of my age, I will go for weeks without playing a game. I just find that there's other shit I'd prefer to do. How do you guys keep your interest up when the release schedule shows nothing that really excites you? Whether or not there's news and or good games, you produce 50-hour plus long shows a year. How do you keep your energy, interest level up for the show every week when there's other shit you'd rather do? I never have gone for weeks without playing a game, but I have gone for a week without playing a game, and I think that was pretty recently actually.
I would call
until
that
I got
last
Dark
week.
Sector.
I didn't turn my, you know, when I left for vacation last Thursday morning, I didn't turn my 360 on until that Saturday after I came back. So
And, you know, I also, even when if I'm not in the mood to play a game, I somehow I always like talking about games, and I like bullshitting, you know, on the fake internet radio.
You just like talking to me, admit it.
And yes, and Wombat. I like talking to Wombat. I like talking to anybody who speaks English.
It's this me. Is, make me feel special. Me, me,
and
me,
Wombat.
Me,
Wombat
me,
just
me.
Brings out the best in me.
There you go. That,
he's my sun and the moon and the stars.
After you stole my driver's license, it's the least you could do is compliment me on the show.
You didn't like the... Well, look, come on. You weren't really mad at that, were you?
I was a little miffed.
Why?
I don't know.
I posed Wombat... I applied for Wombat's E3 application because, you know, Wombat's pretty busy, and I figured I would just take care of it for him. So he had to send me a scan of his driver's license. So I posted on Twitter that I was applying for Wombat's pass, and... You know, I have his driver's license here, and then people reply back, said, oh, post his driver's license. So I you know, I edited out his address.
You asked the world, should I post his driver's license?
Okay, whatever. Is that what I did? I don't remember these things. So I did it, and I edited out your phone number and address and stuff like that. And so what's the big deal?
There is. You know what's funny about the address on there? No one I'm related to lives at that address anymore. I really need to get that updated.
Oh, yeah. Me too. I have my same with my driver's license.
It's pretty funny. Yes. You know what? I wouldn't have minded so much. I think what you should have done, and this is for next time when you try to embarrass me, just put the picture.
Oh, why?
Just cut out everything else. If you want to embarrass me, like, because really that's the funny part of it, is looking at my driver's license picture. But I would say cut out the rest, because I think there are Photoshop-y people that are good enough there. They could remove your crossouts.
No, they can't remove my crossout.
Yes, they can,
trust
damn
me.
It.
They can't.
I watch CSI. I know what they can do.
They can't. It's not possible.
If my identity gets stolen, you're getting the bill.
That's going to be a pretty small bill. 9-pound lobsters for everybody.
Exactly. On you.
All right. I think we're done, Wombat.
Are you sure? I thought we were done 20 minutes ago.
I know. I was done a while ago. My nuts are starting to hurt. I'm still waiting for my test results for my physical. It should be soon.
No, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
I need a vacation.
Let's do some housekeeping really quick. Okay, Wombat, what do you want people to do for this stupid Twitter?
Oh, I just think
bullshit?
You should post it in the show notes.
I'll post it in the show notes. Yeah. Netflix.com/CagCast, free 2-week trials. Give us money. Twitter. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/GBD/Wombat5277/Shipwreck. Take your pick. Follow us all. And if you want video games via Twitter, we got video game deals, UK game deals, and Canada game deals. Although the Canada one is sort of not that active. But if you're in the
and
UK,
if you live
definitely...
in Quebec, it's their French deals.
Right.
Did you hear about that? That's a law now.
That what? The games have to be in French?
Yeah. That's if there's if law. There is a French version available, the English version is illegal for sale or something crazy like that.
Hmm. So follow us on Twitter, and if you're in the UK, definitely come to Cheap Ass Gamer and sign up for an account, because we do have special UK content for you guys.
Cheap Arse Gamer.
Yes, we delivered the UK stuff, and it's very active. There's a lot of deals on there. Super Programmer John is working hard to bring you the best UK deals, and Stealth Soul is working hard too. And there should be some new, hopefully be some new features on CAG soon. We're working on stuff to get all the new features up and running. Review us on iTunes. Blah. That's it, Wombat.
That's what you got. That's how you're ending the show. Blah.
Nope, I'm going to end the show with this, Wombat.
You win. You lose.
There it is.
Whatever.
Bye.
Bye.
Great issues plus 6 free strategy guides on a hot new game. That's twice the power for still $15. Wow, call now.